Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but who is a real fucking manly.
I'm a man.
You are so manly. I've never seen you be so manly before.
I'm so manly, I'm willing to pay anything for a Nintendo Switch 2.
These tariffs are making you ripped. I assume, a week and a half from now when this comes out, this will probably be a wider story. But just in case, do you want to share the text messages you sent me tonight?
Oh, that just, I not seen? The recent spin of the tariffs that have devastated the world economy is that the tariffs will make you a man. They're manly tariffs.
My chest has never been hairier than it was as soon as I paid $19 for a cup of coffee.
My chest has also never been hairy. That's because I can't afford to shave it anymore. So that's just what's going to happen now.
Now I am big like bear. Thank you, Donald Trump. Did you like dig into any of this? Like what is?
I don't dig into any. To me, Fox News is like the Onion. The headlines, as far as I need to get. That's right. Zero other content.
Yeah. But your jawline is looking pretty good.
Thank you.
You must be financially devastated because your jawline is fantastic. Never felt more powerful than when I opened my retirement app and saw that my entire account was down 10 points this week. I am jacked. So what else is going on? Anything, anything other than being super, super just pumped with testosterone?
No, that's about it for me. I'm really, really hoping all those testosterone supplements, were not manufactured in Cambodia, because that is going to be bad news for me in a few days. I cannot afford to pay the tariffs on all the testosterone supplements that I need to make myself a man.
You guys are going to Panama soon, right?
Oh, I can probably pick some up down there. That's true.
So, Never mind. You're safe. Yeah.
I just gotta make it through to like August or something.
Just make it through a hot, bad summer. Speaking of your Panama trip, by the way, I have some interesting news for you.
Mm.
So if you'll recall, I'm going to St. Louis on the weekend. You'll be in Panama.
Right. Yeah. Perfect timing.
Which is bad luck for, yeah, I know. Bad luck for us on multiple levels. Number one, of course, we can't just hang out. We like to do that. Mm-hmm. Also, there were at least two interns prepared to make the trip to St. Louis to do a live show.
Really?
So they claim. And based on the two that it was, I think it would have happened.
Jen and who else?
That's one. And the other one is Ben with Fox and Quill Studio, who lives in Kentucky.
Right.
Northern Kentucky. So now I will note that Ben has a wife who also is an intern, Mariah, and Mariah did not volunteer to come down. So
Mariah's like, Missouri, are we sure that's not a step down at this point?
I'm pretty Kentucky of the West. So anyway, it was a bummer that you're going to be in Panama, that you conveniently scheduled a trip to Panama that one weekend.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, actually, as a matter of fact, Patrick, we just learned that it's a long story. We can get into details if you want, but we don't have to. The short version is we have to actually switch our weekend. We're going to come in the weekend before that now.
Oh, okay. That's when I'll really be in.
Nope. See, no. Cambodia. I haven't checked with Amy, and she said you'll be here. She said mentally he'll be in Cambodia, but physically his body will be here. So now I will say I don't have really any leads on a place to do a cool live show, but we have some Missouri listeners. So listen, everyone, I don't want to speak for Patrick, but I'm just saying, if you come to Patrick's basement, if you've ever dreamed of listening to a live podcast in an Aldi but subterranean, then we might have the solution for you. So the last full weekend of July, we're going to be the 24th through the 28th, I think, is the dates.
Okay.
If anyone's got some St. Louis venue hookups, we could do a thing. And then the second step in that process is then helping me find a way to trick Patrick into agreeing to do that. That's legwork. That's hard. But we're not there. But regardless, we could get together if you want and do a cool chill hang somewhere.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hey, you like how we like to do chill hangs where we both bring our recording equipment and we just like, we don't use it, but we just like have it there with us
in our leather messenger bags.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, our branded leather messenger bags. Oh, man. But we are coming in early, so that'll be fun. So hopefully we get to see you. Gosh, what else? Anything else going on? The interns did they finally, after like 9 months, they finally recorded the show they've been promising us for a long time, which is really exciting. I haven't heard it yet, but I in the Discord, in the admin channel, they were saying, you know, they were congratulating themselves for doing such a good job.
Oh, as they should.
To clap.
Yeah.
Of course. And Jeremy, as the lone voice, is like, so you're telling me there's going to be six claps? I have to line up six tracks and six claps? This is going to be really cool. Thanks, everybody, for doing this great work. I love it. Thank you for all getting together on separate tracks. So I look forward to hearing that in 7 months when Jeremy has finally gotten around to finishing the edits on that. I went to North Carolina, and I thought maybe no place in the country had more Confederate flags than Virginia, and then I went to North Carolina, so it was an interesting experience for me. How about you? How's your Confederate flag situation?
You know, I tend to stay away from a lot of that.
You got a narrow band of Missouri you can visit, huh?
it's like a thin woman's belt wrapped around Missouri that links St. Louis, Columbia, and Kansas City. If you stray more than 500 yards to its north or south, you will be consumed.
Yeah, and it's best if you can find a really big ramp to just shoot you over the world until you get to each of those waypoints.
I'm expecting a real firecracker of a show today since you texted me yesterday and said, do you want to record Monday? Because I might not have anything ready by then. And then like 45 minutes later you were like, never mind, I'm done with the show notes. Okay,
well, that's not exactly how it went, so let me just
how long clarify. Was that gap exactly? We can go back.
Well,
the
gap was actually I think shorter than that, but misrepresented in another key way. So what happened was as of yesterday Sunday I had not written any notes down for the show, and I had a really busy week living life, and then I had like a work thing on Saturday, and then we had to go to North Carolina on Saturday evening to watch my niece play soccer in some like very fancy tournament.
Wow, okay.
And then we drove back to Virginia on Sunday, and so, yeah, we were in the car, and I texted you, hey, if tomorrow doesn't work, because I have no notes yet, like, what do you think, and I don't have time to take notes today, Monday, you know, is there another day that works for you? And you were very gracious, and you said, yeah, here are some. And
nothing if not gracious.
Yeah, that's what everyone says about you on the Discord. And I said, I'll let you know. And then about 30 minutes later, I did follow up and say, hey, we're good to go tonight. Now the part of your story that's wrong is that I did not at that point have the notes done, but I had. So here's my thinking. So I was thinking, tonight, Sunday night, what I have to do is grade student papers. I am so behind on grading, and students are getting very angry, and I need to not take notes. I need to grade these papers. And then it took about 15 minutes until I was like, I don't want to grade papers. I'm going to do research tonight. You know what, Pat? We're on board. We're going. Let's pull the trigger. Students will be fine.
Kids will survive.
So last night, I did the notes for this story. And my students, you know what? I don't even know if they're mad because it's an online class. So
I can't read the emoji leaves here. I don't know how they feel exactly. Right.
So as far as I know, actually, they don't care. Now the emails will start coming in, I assume, any second now. I'm in Schrodinger's inbox right now.
I have an elaborate filtering system for irate emails from students. I read them once a semester.
And only the ones AI surfaces to me ones that are complimentary of my skills.
Siri, please summarize all of these angry emails to me.
That's right. So I did all the notes. Well, I didn't finish last night. I did squeeze some in this afternoon. So it does in some ways feel like an old-fashioned early days iTag, and I'm very excited. All right. Well, in that case, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Absolutely.
I thought you might. And I want to say this story was actually, speaking of our friends Ben and Mariah from Fox and Quill Studio, who are working on our merch. And by the way, we've been saying this for a long time now. It's finally true. They have dropped a ton of new merch on our website. And so some of it is like new products with old designs, and some of it is brand new designs.
Oh, ho, ho.
And one of those brand new designs I really like a lot. And that is actually what inspired tonight's episode. So they have a design that, here, let me, you know what, let me just pull it up for you. I don't know if you've seen this yet, Patrick. I don't know if you, you probably, I mean, I'm sure you've got eyes on our store, like, constantly.
Oh, yeah. I keep track of, stocking levels.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah.
All that. So they have this, this shirt that I,
it's a very, very, very inspiring motto for the state of Florida. Life is too short to have sex with a Florida ghost.
And the style evokes the license plate of Florida, absolutely, which is great. I love this. And I think this comes from, I think something I might have said, one of us definitely said it on the episode of The Devil's Chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was a Florida thing. Yep. This is my new favorite thing. So life is too short to have sex with a Florida ghost.
It really
is. So that shirt's available in the store now. Thank you, Fox and Quill, for putting it together. And I thought, in honor of this wonderful new piece of merch, it may be appropriate to do another Florida ghost story.
I'm all for it. All for it.
We're always good. We're always good for a Florida ghost.
They are the weirdest of the stories.
Yep. So with that in mind, I guess that's the one tonight. In the year 1589, an Italian cartographer named Giovanni Battista Boasio, he mapped St. Francis Drake's voyage to the New World. He have a lot of pizza and spaghetti on the boat, and he'd say, oh yes, I make a map,
What does a cartographer do back in the 1500s, traveling for like...
I'm making a map. Do you see? I'm making a map. I put it in my restaurant. Do you have a place mat then for the kids to draw on with colors, with crayons,
Does he still spend like 200 days sitting on the boat looking all around, just being like, water, water?
I think that's right, because... So his job for a little while, Giovanni Battista Boasio, was to document Sir Francis Drake, right? So he's like, he's on the boat. You have to be taking notes the whole time just in case you see land soon, so you know how much water has gone by.
Sure, yeah.
So you must like just have like a scroll.
You're running your pencil like impossibly slow across this piece of paper. Like, if I get this one wrong, we have to go all the fucking way back and start over
I've
again.
I've already drawn my little scale here, and that was a mistake to do that one first, but it was the straightest line. It seemed really easy. But I'm committed to 1 inch being 10 miles, and we cannot go back. Boasio draws a map of St. Augustine, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
This map goes hard. It depicts Drake's attack on the city.
Wait.
Which...
It's more of a storybook than a map here.
But it's like a geographically accurate... cool storybook.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's like a 4D map here. It's
yeah.
Time. Yeah.
This is a cartographer who's been on a boat for way too long. And then this dragon came down. I've always wanted to draw a dragon. So his map shows the attack on the city. And that map also shows a wooden watchtower near the main Spanish fort.
Mm-hmm.
And Sir Francis Drake himself described this tower as a beacon, which leads us to believe that perhaps it was lit somehow, right?
That'd be very beacony. Yeah.
Yeah. And this, we believe, was the very first lighthouse in St. Augustine, Florida.
Okay. Is that like a...
That's not okay.
Is that it? I don't. I'm not a big lighthouse guy. I mean, usually,
there is a point. I didn't put this in the notes, but there was some point where there was like a quote from someone who was credited as being like Florida historian and world renowned lighthouse enthusiast. I thought, boy, there's a job for everyone. So that's not you, is what you're saying.
No. Is St. Augustine like famous? Is it the first, is it one of those like the first settlement in the States or the southernmost settlement in the US?
Well, yeah, if you
or...
referred to this map in question, you would see that it was the first place that Sir Francis Drake landed and then set fire to immediately.
Right.
I think it is where Drake landed first. So I think on his exploration, he was He just bumped into it and was like, let's burn this motherfucker down. So, but it's also, it's kind of weird. I did look this up. It's kind of, it's north central coastal Florida. I don't know if it's like particularly port happy or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it is just where they kind of landed. So anyway, so this is the first lighthouse in St. Augustine. And by 1737, the Spaniards had built a more permanent sort of structure.
Mm-hmm.
There, a tall tower structure from a material called coquina.
Oh, is this the coral shell stuff? Is,
oh, you fucking nerd. I knew you would know. You dumb engineer. I knew you'd get excited about this. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, no, we discussed coquina at length with one of our previous episodes where the guy had made the...
You and I did?
Yes, where the guy made the...
I've never heard it before.
The guy made the impossibly large carvings in Florida.
What?
He made like impossibly, like Stonehenge size carvings of this material in Florida.
Does not ring one single bell.
I am so proud of myself for remembering something from this series.
I can't believe it. I'm in
that
shock.
You do not remember. I also apologize in advance for Jen probably again putting her fist through her monitor right now while she's listening to you not remember the episode about the coquina.
Like, we can't be all encyclopedic about is this a ghost? What the fuck? What sculptures?
It was like a, he made this huge like sculpture garden in Florida, made out of this like coral seashell type material.
I have never heard this story before. And you're telling me I researched and told that story, huh?
I certainly hope it's not this story. I'll tell you that much.
Boy, hey everyone, we'll be right back. Oh, man. I have no memory of that. That's great. Okay, this is going pretty well. So, yes, coquina, as you have noted, and I guess as I once also noted, this is a sedimentary rock that is composed either wholly or almost entirely of the transported, abraded, and mechanically sorted fragments of mollusks, trilobites, brachiopods, or other invertebrates,
mm-hmm.
which is basically what you said.
Yeah, I said, you know, coral and seashell smushed together. I said it in not so many words.
I'm going to search real quick. I want to see what look and see.
You are desperately trying to see if we have done this episode before, aren't you?
I have no notes about coquina in here, so I don't think you're right. I think maybe you listened to a different podcast.
Yes, I was on a different ghost podcast, your ghost adjacent podcast.
What I will say is I keep all my notes in my notes app and sure. ever since the beginning of time, and there's not a single one that shows up when I type in coquina other than today's.
I guess we'll see.
Well, this is a fight for later. all right. So anyway, you were right. You know what coquina is. And so that's what the Spanish built this new tower out of. You okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I'm pumped now.
Oh, yeah. Feeling very smug. Now, so again, we don't actually know that the Spanish use this new tower as a lighthouse necessarily, but we think it probably was used as a lighthouse, mm-hmm. and we think that maybe it was used as a lighthouse only because a lot of ships' logs and nautical charts from the time referred to it as a lighthouse. So I don't know what the burden of proof is, but it's like,
yeah,
we don't know for sure, but a lot of ships' logs and nautical charts did say it's a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. That feels pretty comfortable to me to say that it's a lighthouse.
I mean, anything you notice from a ship is a lighthouse, technically. If it's like a forest fire, like, oh, that's a
very temporary lighthouse. Yeah. After a while, the British came into town,
because mm-hmm.
that's our history. They fucked Florida for a little while.
Made everything a lot better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hard to say, I guess, but yeah, probably. Then in 1783, the Spanish took at least St. Augustine back. And at that point, the lighthouse was improved once more. Spanish love making better lighthouses.
Clearly,
here.
Yeah.
We know they did that because in 1780, a man named Joseph Frederick Wallet de Bar made an engraving of the area.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a wood cartographer.
Yeah. This cartographer is not being rushed. He's allowed a lot of time.
He's been on the ground for a while. He's not drawn his pencil across his thing. Yeah, he's got time. And he makes an engraving that shows a much nicer lighthouse tower than had previously existed in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So DeBar, by the way, was a Swiss-Canadian engineer.
Okay.
He was also a marine surveyor. And I really, if I had done these notes further in advance, I would have found some sort of like alert sound, because we have had so many people, and I am not joking. Like, I've lost count of the number of people who have reached out to us via email or on social media or in the Discord or whatever, saying like, hey, it's been a long time since you guys have had a surveyor on the show. When are we getting another surveyor? And listen, folks, I don't search surveyor ghost.
Right.
So it's tough.
It just happens.
It just happens.
It's just part of life.
Happened. Mm-hmm. It just happened.
I feel so sorry for those guys on like the side of the road that are like putting down the flags for when they go dig a trench or whatever, and they got to put down all the little yellow flags for the gas lines. Because I imagine like those guys are, they're dead in 5 years, according to the show, at least. There's no way. There's no way those guys.
No way. I don't think we've ever talked about a marine surveyor, though.
Sounds like it'd be real hard to find the stones, you know, real difficult. Yeah. Like, is that one down there? I don't know. It's pretty far down there.
Okay. We'll use that. The cap of that wave. Yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. Wait. That.
I don't know. This shark is pretty clear that this is his land now. And I don't think I want to argue with him anymore.
So I don't know how you become a marine surveyor, what you do as a marine surveyor, but we have one.
I'm willing to bet it's demoted for land surveyor. I don't think
it's a made up job.
Yeah, I don't think it's an adjacent move. I think it's demoted from land surveyor.
I think it's a demotion that they package as a promotion.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like, we gotta get Phil off this. Phil is so bad. He doesn't know how to measure rocks at all.
This is like the snipe hunt of surveying is what I'm hearing. This is
yeah. Hey, you know, why don't you go out there and be Congratulations.
Yeah. Finally. You made it.
Marine surveyor, and you've finally proven your mettle. Mm-hmm. And you're a marine surveyor now. Here's your raft.
Yeah. It's a raft and a very long rope and a rock.
We will hold this knife just in case you come back. But good luck. So, you know, that's his whole role. And he does this wood carving where he shows a nice big lighthouse tower. Now, the first lamps in the St. Augustine lighthouse, when they get lamps, they burned lard oil.
Mm-hmm.
God, and I'm going to go ahead and...
I bet that smelled delicious. I bet that was... I would love to live there.
This ties into my... Well, I'm going to call a fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Wham!
Although I think it's a little light for a real fun fact, but it's been a while since I got to hit that button. I didn't realize... This is a fun Clayton fact. I didn't realize until researching that lard was specifically pig fat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I thought it was kind of a catch-all term.
Oh, right.
Now I've eaten lard, I've bathed in lard, mopped lard on my face. So I'm familiar with lard. I didn't know. And if I had known that whole time that it was specifically pigs, boy, I would have been in hog heaven. But I didn't know it was, specifically pigs, which is very delicious. You're right. So yes, this was the best smelling lighthouse.
I'm not sure why they're wasting all of it up in the lighthouse. I'm really not.
And this is weird because eventually like whale oil is a thing, especially on the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
It never uses whale oil. Now, I'm not saying that we should go like kill whales and stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm actually anti, but they should have fucking killed those whales and gotten that oil, because I need that lardo on my very fancy dinner. You know, tallow, of course, I knew is like beef, cattle, rendered fat. You know, tallow is also the term for sheep, rendered sheep fat.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Wham! That's a fun fact for Patrick. I also didn't know. So it's interesting. I don't know. If you're into like the different kind of like rendered fats of different animals, lard is pig and tallow is cattle or sheep.
I have to look up chicken whenever I get done with the show here. See what rendered chicken fat is.
It's called finger looking good.
It's called delicious. Oh, is that what's in that cup?
Well, I was going to... I
noticed the film on top, and I just kind of figured, but it's...
When I raised that cup to my lips, I thought you might say something a little bit longer, and then you didn't, so I slurped a bit. So choosing lard oil, so that's all great. As time goes on, the lighthouse gets better and better. You know, upgrades are happening. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it's made of brick.
Oh.
Not dead mollusks or whatever. They start using multiple lamps with silver reflectors.
Okay.
Which is a big step up from, I guess, one fire with one reflector.
But, I mean, let's be honest. There's only one ocean, so...
How many lamps could you possibly need?
You point one out of the ocean.
More than one is a glut.
Yeah, exactly. More than one also makes it impossible to change them because one it's always right in your eyes the entire time. There's no way to shield yourself.
Oh, man. So they do that. Now, that system is replaced in 1855 with a Fresnel lens.
Oh.
You familiar with the Fresnel lens?
Is that like one of those? Is it like one of the big expensive bulbs? Is that what it is? Say,
you can guess what a Fresnel lens is, and I'll show you this picture here.
Is it a big, like a big contact lens?
No.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
Is it?
What contact lenses look like?
Is it like that big mirror from the James Bond movie where they were using it to make the big laser? Is it that one?
It's a little different than that.
Okay.
You've seen the movie The Lighthouse, right?
Yes. Yeah. Willem Dafoe.
This guy might look familiar to you.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where they go and kiss.
You know what? So I started watching The Lighthouse, and I got like 20 minutes in, and so far so good, but it is very unsettling. Now, I didn't finish it because I am an adult, and I have responsibilities. Sure. And I started watching it also at my nap time, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like a real adult with real responsibilities. And it was so, like, I couldn't see what was happening because it's such a dark movie.
Yeah, and your phone is so tiny.
That's right. My iPod screen is so small, and I'm just huddled in this corner. But I wanna go back and finish it. So far, so good. The sexual tension is incredible. But the part I stopped where Willem Dafoe was just sitting in front of this lens, just as it's spiraling around. And yeah, that's a cool thing. And so they get one of those. It's great. 1855. So they do keep using lard oil, whale oil. I already talked about that. Yeah. So right around the time this Fresnel lens is installed, the job of lightkeeper passes to a woman. Her name is Maria Mestre de los Dolores.
Oh.
I'm interested. And Maria is actually the first Hispanic American woman to serve in the Coast Guard.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I need to do a little more research here. If I'm understanding what I read correctly, I think that she was not in the Coast Guard until she became the lighthouse keeper. And they're like, you're technically guarding the coast.
Sure.
So now you're in the Coast Guard.
Yeah, you're doing more good than the rest of the guys are.
Oh, like, boy, howdy, huh? We are so anti-Coast Guard in this show. We've always been. She's first, Hispanic American woman in the Coast Guard. So she's there. It's great. Now, a few years later, in 1861, the Civil War breaks out. We've talked about that on the show before.
I remember us talking about that one time.
Maria, along with a local harbor master named Paul Andro, they remove the lens from the lighthouse, and they hide it to keep those goddamn Yankees from sending ships to St. Augustine.
Oh, so they're the baddies. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they are. They are Southern. I wonder how many comments we'll get on Spotify about this episode. Coming in fast and furious lately. So they hide it. Now, I kind of love this. Like, I don't support the Confederacy by any means. I want to be clear about that. However,
but I do support cleverness.
So it's a real pickle, this one. You could just turn the light off, but they go the extra step and they say, we're going to take this gigantic lens and we're going to hide it.
We're going to take it down 2,000 spiraling stairs first. Very one at a time. One at a time.
I would throw it out the window. I would say, we don't need this anymore.
I would tie some clothesline to it and just slowly lower it down onto the rocks below.
Into the ocean. We can return to the deep. Return to Cthulhu from whence you came. Little lens. So where are we here? So this works out pretty well for a while. But eventually the Union Navy is like, I think there's a state down here.
It's real dark at night down here, but I think something is going on down here. Mm-hmm.
I did open my eyes during the daytime yesterday, and I thought I saw a whole state.
There's a big, tall building over there that smells like lard. And
there's a big building over there making me real hungry, and I want to find it. So, like, where the fuck are all the lighthouses? And in an attempt to answer that tactically important question, the Union Navy actually caught Paul Andrew, and they held him captive in an offshore ship and tortured him until he told them where to find the lens.
Oh.
So, I guess... You know, that's the El Salvador of 1870 or whatever.
For the critical question of where's the expensive lens we wanted. That's sure.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I guess they must have done this right at the end of the war because he gives it up. Mm-hmm. But the Civil War ends in 1865. And even though they know where the lens is now, the lighthouse does not light up again until 1867, 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But it does go up on June 1st of that year, and everyone is pretty excited to have it back.
And to get these goddamn ships off the shore. Yeah.
I keep building my house here, and they just keep getting fucking rammed by ships in the night. The most excited people are definitely the ones who are sailing right toward the fucking rocks when the light comes back on. Oh, shit. So for 2 years, years, but, you know, after the Civil War, it should have gone up. Yep. For 2 years, people are just like, I guess I'll hit these rocks. Like, oh, no. Speaking of oh, no, the lighthouse is back, of course, and everyone's excited, except now the lighthouse keeper is looking around at the actual, like, earth beneath the lighthouse, mm-hmm. and he's thinking... That doesn't look so good. So this lighthouse in St. Augustine has been in the same spot for 300 years.
Uh-huh.
Now, the water obviously has been wearing away at the cliff beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And the keeper's like, this is going to fall into the ocean. It'll be less useful there than it is up here on this hill.
Right.
You're an engineer. You get it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, no, I get it. So he wants to put the lens somewhere safe and then let the whole thing fall into the ocean. Is that the idea?
Okay. I think that's right. Yeah. So the keeper at the time sends a letter to the United States Lighthouse Board.
Is this the same board that like approved all the camels a few years after this?
It's not too dissimilar. Do you want to guess which years the... U.S. Lighthouse Board existed?
Oh, I'm going to say 1865 to 1872. That's.
I mean, you're less far off than I would like. 1852 to 1910.
Mm.
1910 seems like a wild year to shut down the United States Lighthouse Board.
We got everything figured out now, guys. It's okay. Nobody takes boats anymore. We're all doing it. It's all cars now.
God, like everything I know about American history, I learned on this podcast, but I am pretty sure boats were still kind of important in 1911. Mm-hmm. So you've got Elon Musk's great grandpa out there running around DC in 1910, shutting down critical infrastructure.
We're going to privatize all lighthouses because they'll make money themselves, I guess,
which is what lighthouses are for. Right. And we all know it. So anyway, the keeper sends a letter to the U.S. Lighthouse Board, and he's like, hey, our lighthouse is literally going to fall into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lighthouse Board looks at this letter, and they're like, this sounds like the woke agenda talking. So they ignore it. They do not respond.
I mean, what are they supposed to do in this case exactly?
Build a new lighthouse would be, I think, ideal.
I get that sounds really expensive, and I can't imagine the Lighthouse Association has... I mean, it sounds like it's mostly a postcard type thing.
I'm not sure. Well, it was. That's a good point. I didn't write this down. I wish I had. There was some. It's the second. How do they word this? It's like the second in command over lighthouses under, I think, the Treasury.
Really?
I think it's a Treasury branch.
How expensive are these lenses? I mean, they look fancy.
I mean, pretty fucking expensive, I think. So I assume the request is like, can you please send us money so we can make a new lighthouse?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't like that. That's DEI talking. So they ignore it. But things are like, they're very serious at the St. Augustine Lighthouse. In 1870, the keeper sends now several letters like begging Congress to take action. And finally, Congress is like, Jesus Christ, if we give DEII some money to build a new lighthouse, will you shut the fuck up? And the keeper is like, I will, please. That's all I want, really. So they approve the funding for a new lighthouse. Construction of a new St. Augustine Lighthouse Tower begins in 1871. This tower, of course, is a little bit further back from the coastline.
What, 10, 12 feet? Something like that?
6 inches. And yeah, it's going to be back on the chopping block.
It's actually resting on the old lighthouse, just leaning up against it. It'll never go anywhere.
But it's heavier, so we're hoping it really roots it to the space. Yeah. The original lighthouse, now at this point, is apparently in such bad shape that they had to build a jetty of coquina and brush to protect it while they built the new tower. So they're like, if the ocean touches this cliff one more time, we're fucked. Please, please send us money. So now they're building the new lighthouse. It's being built with taxpayer funds, of course. Mm-hmm. So now, like, we need this thing to be very good. Mm-hmm. Those voters will get so mad because they don't yet understand how manly it is to just like fritter your money away.
You know, what's more manly than crashing an oil tanker into the Florida coast? Tell me. I wish I knew.
The only thing more manly than that is if a lighthouse falls on top of the oil tanker
from the whole thing ablaze.
Yeah. So to oversee this project, they hire a serious man. They hire a man named Hezekiah Petey.
Hezekiah Petey?
Yeah, his last name is spelled P-I-T-T-E-E. Google tells me it's pronounced Petey.
I would say Pity, but that's
I want to say Petey.
Petey.
So I don't know. I'm going to say Petey, but you in your head, you think of what you want. But you know this guy is good at lighthouses for two reasons. Number one, his name is Hezekiah. So that's good.
Your name just like matriculates to the top of the resume stack at that point. Oh, like the Johns and the Charleses and the Jeffs. They're all on the bottom. Hezekiah? Ooh, weird lighthouse boss? Yeah. Does he have a beard too? Oh, fuck, he has a beard too. Like, okay.
The only possible better name is like Grizzler or something. Like, I don't know. It's really good. So his name's Hezekiah, that's one. And the second thing that makes him really good at lighthouse is that he was born in Maine in 1826. He's got all the qualifications.
Mm-hmm. Home of the lighthouse.
Yep, I assume.
Mm-hmm. I've eaten Cape Cod chips before. I know what's on the front of that bag.
They wouldn't put that on the bag if it wasn't real. So Hezekiah becomes superintendent of lighthouse construction. To do this job, he moves down from Cape Elizabeth, Maine. He's also in a cape, man. This guy knows lighthouses. Absolutely. Who's out for Cape Elizabeth, Maine, to oversee the construction, and he brings his family with him.
Oh, of course.
And his family consists of his wife, Mary, and their children, Mary Adelaide, Eliza, Edward, and Carrie.
Okay.
Okay.
Some pretty plain Jane names for a Hezekiah.
Yeah, I think he's doing the reverse of what I've done with my kids, which is like their last name is Smith. Mm-hmm. So we have to like get a little weird.
Right.
Right. So, you know, Maple and Ivy, like that's,
their names will just sound fake forever.
Yeah.
Or your name is, you know, Emily Smith. That's a little fake.
Yeah. Who would ever name their kid Emily Smith?
Yeah.
Mom doesn't listen to this podcast. It's fine.
It's fine.
But I still like, even as a Clayton Smith, and that's Clayton is not a common name.
Right.
The number of hotel clerks I have had make the very funny joke to me, like, your name's Clayton Smith. Are you sure? Yeah, man. I don't even know what you're trying to say. Like, you think really someone would give a fake name of Clayton Smith? No, it's not even the joke.
I was going to call up with like a fake name at a hotel, it wouldn't be something like really boring. It'd be something exciting because I'd finally be able to go by a fun name.
Yeah. Like what? You know?
Like a Dipshit McGee. That'd be a good one, I think.
That's going to raise some flags.
I'd have to produce some sort of photo ID to claim that I am Dipshit McGee.
And luckily enough, I went to Dave & Buster's last week, and they had this fun new game. My prize was a Dipshit McGee, ID.
Mm-hmm. Passport.
It's important.
Yes. All the supporting documents. I go anywhere in the world to this thing now.
Can't come back, but you can go. No,
absolutely.
For sure. Anyway, so he's got these four kids. They move down to make this new lighthouse. And here's what I like to call a quote of foreshadowing from the St. Augustine Lighthouse and Maritime Museum website. Quote, "Just as any child would do, the Petey children turned the construction site into a playground."
Oh, sounds awesome.
"Inviting the children of the workers into their fun." You ever bring your kids out to drive your
to active construction sites? No, I don't really. I don't do that. No, it's strange. It's pretty much frowned upon nowadays.
My dad did that with me a lot.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't care if I got buried underneath a lot of dirt, which in hindsight is a little unsettling. But I will say this: there were lots of gigantic piles of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You got to run up them and play King of the Hill.
That does sound pretty fun, admittedly.
It was really fun. And if like other irresponsible dads brought their kids, you could play like King of the Hill with other people. You'd push them down the hill. It was so good. Now, I usually got pushed, but that was okay. No. It was also fun. So construction starts in 1871, but for some reason that I did not pick up on, it's kind of slow going. By 1873, 2 years later, only the foundation and 42 feet of the tower had been completed.
That's a lot. 42 feet. That's a lot of tower right there.
Well, so this is part of, I was confused by this because I was, the plans call for a lighthouse of 165 feet.
Wow.
So, and I have a hard time with measurements of length. So actually for this segment, I asked ChatGPT to put it in perspective. My prompt was, and here's the quote that I put in ChatGPT. "I'm reading about a lighthouse that's 165 feet tall. I can't picture the scale. What are some other things that are about 165 feet tall or long?"
Mm-hmm.
All right. ChatGPT replies, quote, "Totally get that. 165 feet can be hard to visualize." And I want to stop there for a second because, like, I totally get that. Not even I totally get that. It's like, dude, hey, man, totally get that. We're bros in San Diego.
ChatGPT is like, on its iPhone, like clicking that suggested response button over and over again. Right.
Totally. Totally gets it. But here are some somewhat helpful answers. Things that are about 165 feet tall or long: Niagara Falls.
Oh, tall or long?
Both. Both squared. That one's tall, and you and I have been there before together, right?
We have, yes. Magnificent showing of water. Very
you went over the in a barrel, and it was so cool.
I did, yep.
A 15-story building.
Right, okay.
And so Niagara Falls, 15-story building, and 70% of a Boeing 747. And so at this point, with... I can't, like, so I read these things on ChatGPT, and I can't stop thinking, like, why is a 15-story apartment building smaller than a plane? This makes no sense.
Not just that, but why is ChatGPT asking you to do ratios to visualize this now? Like, I just told you, I'm not doing well at visualizing this. Why am I doing math? Yeah.
This is crazy, and I
need to memorize the Boeing plane designations as well. I don't know which one of them is which.
There are so many sevens, and some of them are now halved. So I don't know. Lots of wrecks. That's that joke. So that did not actually help very much because I refuse to believe that a 15-story building is not even nearly as long/tall as a Boeing as an airplane I've been on. Mm. It doesn't make any sense in my brain. So that's not helpful. Also fun, ChatGPT included a section called, and I'm quoting here, everyday stackables, which consisted of only two examples. And these everyday stackables that ChatGPT thinks are everyday stackables, 11 adult giraffes and 28 tall humans. So I left with so many more questions than I came. But that's, anyway, so that's how tall the lighthouse is.
The variety of things tall.
Yeah, and so the point is, I guess I still have no fucking clue how tall it's supposed to be, but after 2 years, I got 42 feet. And you seem impressed by that, and that's good, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the 42 feet, that's like 28% of a Boeing jetliner long. I mean, that's tremendous.
Here's what I can run 42 feet in at least 7 minutes. So the fact that it's taken them 2 years to build vertically that way feels wrong. The point is, anyway, they have work to do still after a couple of years. So, one of the reasons why it was taking so long was because in order to build the lighthouse that was not like literally on the coastline, they had to ship all the supplies, over to Florida. And then the supplies had to move to the lighthouse, which was uphill. Cause that's where you,
right.
Ideally, like if you can, you want to put it up a hill.
Sure. Sure.
So to do this, they had to build a small rail line.
Okay.
From the coast to the construction site, mm-hmm. right? But the rail line is not a full, it's not like a train line. It's a rail line that supports a one railway cart.
Right. And one guy pushing.
And I assume one guy pushing like up this hill.
Or maybe they have like a rope at the one end. That's all I can.
There's no good solution here. It's either way, guys are going home tired at the end of the day, for sure. There was one source that described the cart as a trolley. So I don't know like if it's like an ore mining cart or like
right.
like a San Francisco trolley.
Yeah, like it's making all the stops on the way up and down the hill as well.
Right. All aboard. So I don't know. Either way, it's unruly and not very efficient, I think. Mm-hmm. But it does present the opportunity for some fun.
Okay. Because
the cart goes up the hill.
Right. Very slowly.
Very slowly.
But.
Which means it also must go back down the hill.
Very not slowly.
Very not slowly. And here's another quote from the official St. Augustine Lighthouse website. Quote, riding the cart down to the water was a favorite pastime of the Petey children.
Bring your children you don't like to work with you one day.
That's it's bring your children you don't like to work day. Quote continues, they used the cart as a Victorian era roller coaster, riding the cart to the water and bringing it back up the site to ride again. Only a wooden board at the end of the rail stopped the cart from tipping over into the water.
I'm beginning to like where this ghost story is going. This is getting pretty good.
You're picking up on where the ghost might come
from. I'm pretty sure. I'm looking at the timestamp. Yeah, we're getting close to the ghost.
Okay. Those bingo cards are really clocking in. On July 10th, 1873, the three Petey girls, Mary, Eliza, and Carrie, asked the daughter of one of the black site workers, whose name we do not have, and even in the official record is described as, quote, an unknown African-American. And his daughter is described as, quote, an unknown African-American girl.
Mm-hmm.
To go for a ride in their cart. In case you're wondering about ages, Mary is 15. Eliza is 14. Carrie is 4.
Eee.
And the unknown girl is 10.
Okay.
Now, why we know her age but not her name,
mm-hmm.
that is a question that is answered by our own history.
Yeah. 10 sounds like a bit of an ish age as well. She was 10.
Yeah, that's around.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Older true. Than this girl, younger than these girls. That's 10.
Definitely not 4.
Yeah.
Doesn't look 14.
Yeah.
So that's how we did things back then, and I guess we'll do again now. But the girls, all four of them, they climb on board, and they've done this a lot of times before, and they push off down the track. Mm-hmm. Now, eventually the track ends, and of course, if it's not stopped by this wooden plank,
right.
the cart, theoretically, only theoretically, I'm,
right. you know, sure.
I'm postulating here, would go careening into the Atlantic Ocean.
Right, yeah. But I mean, it's water, it's soft, so...
Yeah. Yeah, and like we don't even like think about that because it's
because the board is
73 and they have right. a sophisticated method. Of
yeah, and they have a flawless method of stopping this. There is a board that's there most of the time.
Yeah, there's what, a single yeah, what plank of wood that yeah. we think is probably there. It's fine. Now, I will say, I don't know. There seems to be no reason to move that plank of wood.
Mm-hmm. But what if you need it to build the lighthouse?
Mm. Oh, should have stuck with mollusks or whatever.
Exactly. No one uses a mollusk to keep themselves from crashing into the ocean. That's your prize for crashing into the ocean.
You become mollusk. Yes. Now, in the defense, typically the plank does a really good job of stopping the car.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. So it, you know, it's normal. But on this day, for some reason, the plank had been removed.
Oh, for cleaning, I bet.
Yeah, like we got to make sure this plank is still in tip-top shape so it can stop all the girls coming down this track in a cart.
Oh, fuck, what is that?
Oh, no! the lacquer's still drying. What do we do? So the cart carrying the four girls flips off the tracks and into the water. It goes end over end. It traps the girls underneath.
Oh, not great.
It's not great. One of the workers, a black man named Don Sessions. We have his name. Dan Sessions recorded his name here. He sees this happen. He sprints to the water as fast as he can. And this is like, you know, it's fucking trolley cart.
Sure.
It's not light. I assume it's made of like iron.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan is losing his mind with adrenaline, and he somehow manages in the water to push the cart off eventually to free the girls. But it is too late, and three of the four girls had drowned.
Oh.
The only survivor was the youngest, the four-year-old Carrie.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The other girls all drown. So this is unthinkable, obviously. Mm-hmm. In the days after the accident, the whole town shuts down for the funerals of the girls. After the funeral, Hezekiah and his wife Mary, they bring their daughter's bodies back up to Maine. They bury them in their hometown. So they get eventually get a family burial. And here's a quote about the African-American girl who is unnamed. Quote, staff researchers have not yet been able to find the final resting place of the young African-American girl.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. If you want like a cool story about what America is like in terms of history that I guess we're not allowed to teach anymore, this is an example of that. So the children have passed, but they are dead, but they are not gone nor forgotten, which is where this is all going. Boy, that's tough, huh? The final keeper of the lighthouse is a man named James Pippin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's a jaunty little fellow.
It seems to be.
Pippin was a keeper from 1953 until the lighthouse officially closes in 1955. And Pippin initially lived in the keeper's house, which is where all previous lighthouse keepers had lived. But in his first year there, he moved to the much smaller coastal lookout building, which is very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And when people asked him why he had done that, he swore that the keeper's house was haunted and he would not stay one more night in it ever.
Ooh, okay.
He said all night long he could hear the sound of children running and laughing in the basement.
Okay.
And when he would go check, of course, there were no children.
Sure.
But,
you know, is it that scary? Children run. I mean, annoying, yes. But scary.
I mean, this is kind of a big existential question. Like, yeah, like, is a ghost scary by dint of being ghosts?
Mm-hmm.
Or should you just be, like, cool?
Right, yeah. I mean, if they threaten you, if, like, the playing children come upstairs and you hear them, like, going through the knife drawer, then...
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay, then, maybe it's time to move a little bit. But for now, let kids be. We were all kids at one point. We were all kid ghosts at one point. Let's just...
We were all non-ghost kid ghosts. Mm. That's true. Now, I will say this. So, speaking on behalf of my downstairs neighbors, who have to live with our children running up and down the hallway like fucking crazy and smashing, like, that sound, my children are not ghosts. They're not scary. They're not going to go through the knife drawer and murder my downstairs neighbors, I don't think.
I mean, you lock the door anyway.
Not because of that, but just like...
Everybody's 97% sure it's not going to happen. But
yes, and that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
but, you know, I get we might not like that. So he moves out, and when he would go to check, there's no children, obviously, but mm-hmm. there were footprints in the dust.
Oh,
child-sized footprints.
Oof.
So that's a little freaky.
Yeah, okay, that's getting freakier.
In 1955, the lighthouse is fully automated.
Oh,
so it doesn't need a keeper anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The keeper's house then was.
I just can't imagine what fully automating a lighthouse can say. Is it literally just like that little timer you put on your porch lights? Is that like literally?
Like, yeah. Oh,
okay. You don't have a job anymore because they invented a little wheel with a spring in it.
It turns on and turns off. Like, this is like the, we have that little thing for our Christmas lights that you plug in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most basic thing.
Yes. It's a
like,
little wheel.
This tab yeah. here, this yeah. tab here, yeah. and the wheel goes around. It's like, mm-hmm. fuck, wow. Yeah. This is
apparently invented
without flaw.
It's apparently was invented in 1955 is what it sounds like to me. Because
I'll be honest, it looks like it was invented in 1955. Like I feel weird doing it every year because I'm like, this should be higher tech.
Yeah.
It should be higher tech yeah. and work worse, but it's low tech and it works great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they have, I guess. So there's no need to fill the keeper's house with a keeper. So they rent it out to folks. And one of the guys who rents it out is a local man in the 1960s, local Florida man. He says that one night when he woke up, he found a small girl standing by his bed staring at him.
Hmm.
Now, he didn't like this.
Right.
And therefore, he screamed. And when he screamed, she disappeared. That's when he decided to move out. So he moves out, and then the keeper's house is left empty for several years. And then in 1970, the whole house mysteriously burns to the ground.
Oh.
And that's what it sounded like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, the county decides to step in. They're going to demolish the ruins,
mm-hmm.
and they're all ready to do it. They've got the equipment there. And on the day they're going to demolish the lightkeeper's house, 16 women in the Junior Service League of St. Augustine step in. And they say, you cannot tear this house down. We have raised $1.2 million to restore this very haunted house.
Really? Like, correct. You could do so much more money. You could do so much more with $1.2 million than rebuild a haunted house.
You could feed so many yeah. hungry people. Or I guess you could rebuild one weird haunted house no one likes. So they also renovated the lighthouse tower and the original Fresnel lens.
Mm-hmm.
And they also got, this is important, they added the place to the National Register of Historic Places, not National Register of Haunted Places. That's different. So it's on the register. So now the dumb fucking haunted house has to stick around forever. You cannot tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, during renovation, both construction workers and the JSL women reported numerous unexplained phenomena, such as tools moving,
mm-hmm, of course,
or going missing. Standard fare.
Mm-hmm.
There were always sounds of voices coming from the basement, even though no one was down there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the foundation was still okay. On tours of the area today, guests still hear the sounds of children laughing and playing, both in the house and around the grounds, but there are no children, but they do still leave footprints in the dirt.
Hmm, no children in a lighthouse museum. I don't know how much I believe that. It seems like a pretty hopping thing. I know when we go to the island, the kids are always like, God, Dad, can we just like park the cars and go to the lighthouse museum right now?
I thought we came here for the lighthouse. Dad, yeah. All I've ever wanted in my entire short life is to go on a lighthouse tour. You know, there's that meme going around a while ago, like, you know, men over 40 really love the Roman Empire.
Yes, yeah.
I think actually what is true is that men over 40 really love lighthouses.
Oh, absolutely. The solitude, the height.
Oh, I would take that way over the Roman Empire any day. Now here's an absolutely batshit quote from GhostCityTours.com. If anything can be said, it's that the children now get to play long after dark. I guess that's a win for the dead children.
You know what? You spend, you know, 3 minutes drowning and the rest of your life playing in the basement.
Who wouldn't take that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boy. Now, the girls at this point have also grown powerful enough to take on a physical form.
Mm.
A few years ago, a man was walking around the trails of the property and saw a young girl in Victorian dress sitting on a bench. He asked her if she had gotten separated from her parents mm-hmm. when the girl suddenly vanished.
Mm.
Not long after that, a woman touring the house approached another member of the tour group to compliment that second woman on her daughter's good behavior. And the second woman looked at her like she was a fucking crazy person and said, I don't have a daughter. And the first woman was like, well, who's this little girl who's been following you the entire time? Mm-hmm. And the second woman is like, there's no little girl. And you are also an insane yeah. person. But the first woman swore that she could see this girl who had just stood quietly by the second woman the whole time. Hmm. No one else had seen her, by the way.
Ooh.
And this has been the ghost story of the PD children ghosts at the St. Augustine Lighthouse. And when you Google hauntings in Florida, St. Augustine Lighthouse comes up as like numero uno.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, I will say there is a second ghost at the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to cover that here, but that is going to be our next ghostie.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to hear about the other ghost on Ghost Plus, sign up for Ghost Plus. It's going to be good because here's a spoiler alert. You've already heard about this ghost in this episode.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
And that's where we'll leave it for now. Is This a Ghost? Is a production of Smith Show Media. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team is Kai Valona, Sam Murdoch, Jennifer Jones. New merch, actually, truly, really, now in the store. Go buy it from Fox and Quill Studio. And listen, we all are grateful that you are here and listening. If you listened last week, you realized that if you're not in Ghost Plus, you didn't get to hear the whole episode. So I have a quick solution for that, which is join Ghost Plus. You can hear all the fun extra episodes, and it's worth it, I think. Patrick thinks so too. He won't say it on camera, but
No, because of the legalities of it. But no, yeah, it's probably great.
My lawyers have said I shouldn't, but here we go. So check out Ghost Plus. It's really great over there. And you know, if you don't want to do that, fine, be obstinate. We don't care. We'll see you next week on Is This a Ghost? Now, I will say for this week, do not become a lighthouse keeper. Because I don't know, no matter
what the sexual tension, it's not worth it.
No matter how horny you are, do not become a lighthouse keeper. Because otherwise, we may talk about you next week on Is This a Ghost?